Can you think of someone who you resent? There's resentment. And what is resentment? Resentment is anger or hatred, feelings of hostility toward another person. And you just absolutely refuse to forgive. And if that's you today, that you are the man who we saw at the beginning of the sermon, who built that box and pulled up that door and looked out that peephole. As much as we might have had different thoughts in our mind, maybe some of us laughed at it, maybe some of us began to think about what was going on, maybe some of us dismissed it, but the fact of the matter is, if that's where you're at today, then you're just like that man in the box, that you have built a box of bitterness for yourself.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Building a Box of Bitterness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Building a Box of Bitterness.
We build a box of bitterness, and like the individual, we find ourselves trapped in this box with our little peephole, and we're looking out. Trapped by a creation of our own devices, something that we have constructed for ourselves. And now here we are in this box of bitterness. Our world has now shrunken, whereas we used to feel free to move about, shake a hand, make a friend, to pat people on the back. Now all of a sudden we find that our world has been reduced down to this box, because this bitterness that has gripped our minds, has gripped our hearts, has gripped our soul. And as I said, I really didn't want to preach this message. I wanted to finish the message that I started last week. But as I was in my study yesterday preparing for finishing that message last week, man, just spirit just overwhelmed me. And the Lord just seemed to speak that there's going to be a lot of people that will be present in the congregation tomorrow that are dealing with this issue of bitterness. And would to God, I tell you what, I don't want my world, I don't know about you, but I don't want my world to be reduced. I don't want my world to be shrunk. I don't want to have limited access as to who I can talk to and where I can go. But I see it all the time. People have created this monster, and now they are enslaved by their own devices. Such is the case in our text this morning. We see that here's a young man who was in the field, no doubt having a good work day, doing the things that his father were pleased with. And all of a sudden, he gets word that his younger brother, who had spent his substance on riotous living, was now coming back home, and his countenance all of a sudden begins to change. And now anger begins to flood his soul. And not only does anger flood his soul, but now he begins, as you saw on the video clip, he begins to take his saw, he begins to take his hammer, he begins to take his drill, he begins to take his nails, and he begins to construct this box that he's eventually going to put himself into. Father, I've been with you all these years. I haven't transgressed thy commandment. And now the walls are around the sides and over the top, and he begins to pull up this box, and he says, but you never prepared a calf for me and my friends, that you never had a party for us. And now the box is closed in, and he's looking out the little peephole and said, but this thy son who was a prodigal, this thy son who has wasted your substance on riotous living, has now come home, and you have given him a party. And here he is, now locked in the box of bitterness. As we look at the background for this particular passage, We can go back to verses 1 and 2 because this gives us the prompting as to why Jesus gave this parable. In verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners to hear him." So Jesus was ministering, and on this occasion, the lowest of the low came to him, tax collectors. People hated tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, alcoholics, drug addicts, fornicators. They came to him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Do you hear the bitterness in their spirit? That they were so upset with these individuals that they began to condemn Jesus, that their bitterness begins to spew out, and they condemn Jesus because he is one that eats with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus goes on to give them three parables. He gives them the parable of the lost sheep. He gives them the parable of the lost coin. And he gives them the parable of the lost son. In the parable of the lost sheep, there are 99 that are safe in the fold, but one is missing. And the shepherd goes to look for that one. In the parable of the lost coin, a lady loses a precious coin, and she turns up her whole house trying to find that one coin. And then the lost son is one who has wandered away from home and squandered his substance on riotous living. And in each one of those situations, there is a happy ending because they came back. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he said that you can't even get happy. You are so bitter that you can't even get happy whenever somebody gets right, whenever somebody turns their heart over to God, that it doesn't bring joy to your soul, that bitterness has just settled in to your spirit, and now that God is at work, and God does a miracle, and God does something special, you can't even get excited about it because you built this box of bitterness, and you're sitting in this box of bitterness, and you're looking out, and you're saying, "Look at him. He's eating with tax collectors and sinners." From this box that you have built. When you think about this message today, let me just give you a quick outline to bring you up to speed so that we can get to the meat of what I want to say. If you put up the next slide, in order for us to get to that point, I have three points to bring us there. If we were to outline this particular parable, we could outline it three ways: a wayward lad, a forgiving dad, and a son that was mad. A wayward lad, a forgiving dad, and a son that was mad. First, we look at, real quick, a wayward lad. We see his rebellion, that he comes to his father and he says, "Father, give me my inheritance so that I can go out and do my thing." And then he goes out, he spends his inheritance, and he ends up slopping with the hogs. He ends up in the pigsty, in the mud with the pigs. So his rebellion led him to the pig pen. We see his realization that he is in there, a Jewish individual who is not supposed to have any contact with swine. We see him come to his senses. And he said, "Oh, in my father's house, there's plenty to eat." And so he comes to this realization. And then he goes and he repents and he asks his father to forgive him. He said, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." The second thing we see is not only a wayward lad, but a forgiving dad. And the forgiving dad, we see his pardon, that when his son comes back, the scripture says that he rushed to him and he kissed him and he embraced him and he got a robe and put on him and he killed the fatted calf. That he pardoned him, that he gave him a party because he was rejoicing that his son had come back home. And then his proclamation, he said, "This my son who was lost has now come home again." So that's the forgiving dad. But here's where I want to focus this morning, and it's on this third individual, and that is a son who was mad. A son who was mad. And we see three things about this son, and that is the root of bitterness that began to develop in his spirit. We see the shoot of bitterness, how it began to work out in his life. And then we see the fruit of bitterness, the things that were manifested as a result of the situation that he was dealing with. Bitterness. What is bitterness? I want to share with you today that bitterness is three things. And you can begin to ask yourself these questions, or look at these points and ask yourself the question, is this a reality in my life? Is this something that's going on in my spirit right now? First of all, bitterness is a pain in your soul. That there is something that is deep down inside of you that is hurting, that there is a pain in the soul. And this becomes clear in the scripture, because we have in the Hebrew, the word for bitter is the word mara. And you know what it means? It means to have a pain that is pricking your heart. A pricking of the heart. And this pricking of the heart leads to a wound that is within the soul. We see it. And I'm going to get you to turn to some scripture real quick. And we're going to go through them real quick. And if you can't keep up, you can look up on the screen. They'll have them there for you. But Esau, when he found out that he had been ripped off of his birthright, the Bible says that he began to be bitter. In Genesis chapter 27, Genesis chapter 27, in verse 34, when Esau found out that he had lost his birthright, and Esau heard the words of his father, and he cried with an exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me even also, O my father. When he lost his birthright, do you feel the pain? It says that he cried out with a bitter pain. Have you ever lost something that was valuable to you? Do you know how you felt? Do you know the pain that you felt inside? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, when Hannah was unable to have children, but her husband's other wife was able to deliver children. And she wanted a child so much that the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept bitterly. Why was she in bitterness of soul? She was in bitterness of soul because she could not have children, and she was pricked in her heart. Here was a lady that wanted to have children, that couldn't have children, and her soul and her spirit was aching. In the book of Job, we read of an individual who had lost everything. He lost his possessions, he lost his family, and eventually he lost his health. And in Job chapter 10, in verse 1, we read these words. Job said, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He had lost everything, and now his soul was hurting, and he's speaking, he says, out of the bitterness of his soul, out of the pain that's in his soul. And in Colossians chapter 3, God knew that there would be strife and contention between a husband and wife. And in this verse, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 19, he realizes that husbands will do things to upset wives, and wives will do things to upset husbands. And so Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 19, he says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Don't have an aching in your soul. Let something that has transpired in the relationship cause your soul to ache. And now you're sitting there in this relationship, and every day that there's a wound, that there's a hurting in your soul. And so we see here that first and foremost, Bitterness is a pain in the soul. Are you sitting there today as a result of something that someone has done to you? Are you sitting there today and you have a pain in your soul? The second thing we see about bitterness is that bitterness is resentment towards another person. Bitterness is resentment towards another person. It means that you have ongoing feelings of anger and harshness and maybe even hatred toward another person. It means that constantly you are bombarded with thoughts of anger and resentment because of something that someone has done to you, a situation that you find yourself in. Oh, I love this little reading from the book None of These Diseases by S.I. McMillan. And he talks about the unresolved anger, resentment, and hatred that we can have towards a person when they have done us wrong. He says, the moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. Just like the man in the box, right? Just like the man in the box. The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts. My resentments produce too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued only after a few hours of work. The work I formerly enjoyed is now drudgery. Even vacation ceases to give me pleasure. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. I can't escape his tyrannical grasp upon my mind. When the waiter serves me a porterhouse steak with French fries, asparagus, a crisp salad, and strawberry shortcake smothered with ice cream, it might as well be stale bread and water. My teeth chew the food, and I swallow it, but the man I hate will not permit me to enjoy it. The man I hate may be miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of serfs can sleep, but not me. I must realize the fact that I am a slave to every man on whom I pour the vials of my wrath. What is bitterness? Bitterness is a pain in the soul. Bitterness is a resentment towards another person. And then finally, bitterness is a refusal to forgive. It's a refusal to forgive. That when you have been offended, what you do is that you put this person in a prison in your mind. And that you have given them a sentence that says you have a life sentence without the possibility of parole. That you lock them in to your mind and to your heart and to your spirit and you refuse to forgive them. And what is forgiveness? And I deal with this all the time. People want to know all the time, well, what does forgiveness look like? Forgiveness is when you open the prison bar of your mind and you set that person free. Now, that doesn't mean that you forget what they've done to you, but it means that I no longer hold it against you. And you know, the problem comes in whenever we do that, but the person still keeps messing up. And how do we deal with that when we are doing our best to try to let this person out of this prison in our mind, but yet and still they do something that not only locks the door, but bolts it and double bolts it? And it's almost like you want to go to the person and say, look here, man, I'm trying to let you out. But you keep doing things that cause me to keep you locked in. And so, this is bitterness. And as you sit there today, can you think of somebody who causes you a pain in your soul? All right. Can you think of someone who you resent? There's resentment. And what is resentment? Resentment is anger or hatred, feelings of hostility toward another person. And you just absolutely refuse to forgive. And if that's you today, that you are the man who we saw at the beginning of the sermon, who built that box and pulled up that door and looked out that peephole. As much as we might have had different thoughts in our mind, maybe some of us laughed at it, maybe some of us began to think about what was going on, maybe some of us dismissed it, but the fact of the matter is, if that's where you're at today, then you're just like that man in the box, that you have built a box of bitterness for yourself. I have 3 points this morning, and I got to finish them all. I can't make this a two-part message because I got one from last week that I haven't finished. So I got 3 things I want to say to you today. The root of bitterness, the shoot of bitterness, and the fruit of bitterness. First of all, let's look at this root. Even in the life of the prodigal son's brother, let's look at the root in his life. When did this start? Turn back to Luke chapter 15. When did this start in his life? And I want to propose to you that it didn't start. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. It didn't start when his brother came back. It didn't start. The root didn't start when his brother came back. In verse 11, it said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth on me. And he divided it unto him, his living. And not many days after that, the younger son, now if there's a younger son, that automatically implies, and we might not know this yet if we didn't read the story at the end, but that automatically implies that there's an older son. And the younger son, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I want to say to you that this root began as soon as this younger brother came and asked for his inheritance. Now look, we both here together. We both got an inheritance coming. Why don't we just wait until our time comes and we'll get it and we don't have to come and request it. But look at this guy. Who does he think he is? Why is he asking for an inheritance? You know, what's up with him? And so I believe that the root began right there. And it began to spring up in his heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your finger in Luke chapter 15. But in Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 15, it says this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled. He said, you need to be on the lookout. You need to be on the lookout for bitterness. And you need to understand that the moment it begins to manifest itself, that something needs to go off in your brain. There it is. And something needs to go off.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Building a Box of Bitterness. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Building a Box of Bitterness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Building a Box of Bitterness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Building a Box of Bitterness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galais and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.